Guys, welcome to Restored Community Church. If you are a visitor today, we are very glad that you were here. Today, of course, is Father's Day or Foster's Day. Amen. And so today, like any time and in anything we do, especially in an urban church, Father's Day is always a mixed bag of emotions, right? And so you have some of us in here that are had very godly daddies and doing the best they can and show us how to be like Jesus, and they are a super blessing, and they're a rarity in the city, and it's awesome to see that. Amen. And then some of us had dads that were there but not there, and they were trying their hardest, but they weren't godly men and dealing with their own junk and confusion and marital issues. And then there were those of us who didn't have fathers, and for whatever reason, some of our dads were in jail, some of our dads were not around, some of our dads were just addicts and whatever they were. Here's the point we come to, is I hope you see this. It's like God uses everyone he puts in your life for a purpose. If it was for good, it was for good. If it was through battle and your dad wasn't there and you had issues, God is the father to the fatherless, and God fills and heals all wounds and voids of fatherlessness. And fatherlessness is one of the biggest curses of the city, of our country. And so what I'm very glad for is to be a part of Restored Community Church, which, and we are not the only kid on the block, but what I see around here are large groups of men, young men and older men, rising to the occasion to actually be men of God, to be good dads. Amen? There are a lot of very good daddies in this church. Some of them are physical dads, other ones are spiritual dads to boys that don't have, or boys and girls that don't have fathers and didn't have fathers, or the dads are out of the picture. And so I'm honored to be part of a group of men like you guys and ladies. And I know some of you, especially single moms, today is an extremely hard day. I'm a kid that came from single mom parenting, and then I had a bunch of stepdads, and my dad wasn't around, and all that stuff. I got daddy issues today myself, but I will say that, number one, Jesus heals hearts. Jesus parents with you. And number two, the men of the church should and are rising to fill that gap and that void. And so it's not always perfect, and we're not always the best at it, but that is our intention. And honestly, if you're not getting that, you should say, hey, who's coming to hang with my kid? So I challenge you to that. And so if you're by a dad or a dad-like figure or a grandpa-like figure, ladies, put your hand on them, or kids, put your hand on them. We're just going to pray blessings over them. Let's just kind of celebrate dads, new dads, old dads. Okay, good. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for these men. God, we thank you for, embattled or not, Lord Jesus, in their life, God, that they are here. They are a gift. Lord, we pray, God, that they would be, God, I pray that they would not listen to the lies of the world, what a man should be, what a father should be or should not be, how we raise our children compared to what the world would say. Lord, we want to be godly men of the Word of God, full of your Holy Spirit, that rise to the occasion. It's okay to teach our sons to be strong. It's okay to teach our daughters to be strong and tender, Lord Jesus, and vulnerable. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, for the gift of these dads. Lord, we pray that they would continue to rise to the occasion. They would lead the young boys and girls in this church that do not yet have a dad that will stand in the gap with them. And, Lord, we volunteer. If the church isn't going to do it, who else is? And so, Lord, we pledge ourselves to that. And God, we pray that we will see the legacy that has been handed to many of us of brokenness will stop here, and Lord, we'll leave this place with years and generations of men and women staying together, honoring you, Lord, and raising godly men and women for this place and for your glory. So God, thank you for these men. Bless them. May we celebrate them today, and be with those of us who have heavy hearts today. But God, thank you that you are the real deal. You are the only stand-in we've ever needed. And God, we praise you for your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You guys ready to talk about unicorns and lollipops this morning? We're going to have a lollipop and unicorn kind of morning. It is not a lollipop and unicorn kind of morning. Matter of fact, I was just thinking in the middle of our two services, how on earth am I going to do this twice? And so, by the grace of God. And so, today our sermon is called Overcoming the Darkest Places. And so we have a prayer around here that you've heard us say before. Lord, give us the people that nobody else wants. Lord, send us to the places no one else wants to go. And God, please send us like-minded men and women to do this with us. And so with that, the only problem with that prayer is that God is faithful and he answers. And you know what I'm saying? And so God answers with people who fit that description. And I'm thankful for them because I'm one of them. Like, I'm one of them. I should never be a pastor in the world's standards and be looked up to because of what God has done in my family. It's all the Lord. And so my question is will we continue, and will we always be a church that embraces people in the depths of their depravity and steps in, and we actually see people saved, healed, and sent out? Amen? And so that's the thing. I used to be in a suburban church for a few years when I had my first pastorate, and good and bad experiences there, all training, all for God's glory. Amen? And so the three things that we like to talk about the most there was marriage, parenting, and finances. Those are like the holy triad of all things evangelical American church. And so those things are absolutely important, right? Those are absolutely critical, how to be men and women who are engaged in marriage in a godly way and raise children in a godly way and do our financing and make sure we support church in a good, godly way. But over the years, if you try to just implement that in an urban church like ours, you're going to hit a lot of roadblocks, because there's roadblocks before getting those things straight that you have to go over first. And so as I was praying this week and seeking the Lord, this sermon really comes out of my own junk. And so I was battling this week, and I felt like the Lord placed this on my heart in one direction, and then yesterday it seemed to open up into three different things that I wanted to talk about today. And so here's what I think are the big three for us as an urban church that might not affect everybody in this room completely, but it does absolutely affect every single one of us. And so here's the big three that I think that we deal with the most. Number one is addictions. And I'm not talking about addictions, the outward fight. I'm talking about the thing inside of us that causes us to self-medicate and be addicts. So that is one of the biggest things that we deal with. You walk through our neighborhoods, walk through this church, you will see people absolutely riddled by this demonic thing in addictions, including myself. Number two, sexual abuse. This week, as I turned on the TV and I saw the story of this man who breaks into an apartment where a little 3-7-year-old girl is sitting, and he rapes her and attempts to kill her and then leaves the house, and then they catch him. I look into that and I am dumbfounded, broken. And then it makes me think how much of an imprint this topic, like addictions and even then some, has printed on this church and has printed on my life. See, my family, if you look through our family tree, you will see generational sexual abuse over and over and over and over again. And what I want to talk about today is that scar that comes from having been abused yourself, people around you that love you that have been abused, and also the ramifications of people who were abused but hurt you later because of what they went through. I am dumbfounded by the scar that leaves on the heart of somebody, because it never goes away. What we'll talk about today, though, is how we walk through that with Jesus. And the third, I'm making up stuff now, the third one is mental illness. And so when I say mental illness this morning, some of you be like, yeah, schizophrenics need Jesus. Yes, schizophrenics need Jesus. Amen. But I'm talking about what is rampant in here and all over the place. So PTSD. Bipolar disorder. Anxiety disorder. Anybody in the house? Depression. Anybody in the house? These things, if you look over again, if you want to, why am I talking about myself today? I want to talk about you guys. But thinking about this, mental illness, I cannot even tell you. The other day I was driving down the street on Douglas, and a man was in the middle of the road walking head-on in the traffic, challenging people to hit him, swinging and spitting at cars when they went by. Swinging and spitting at cars when they went by. So as I look at the imprint that mental illness has left around the church, my heart breaks, because in my home, we have two people in our home that both of them deal with extreme anxiety disorders, one of them being me and one of them being my wife, and also bipolar. The first 10 years of our marriage, we had no idea what was wrong with my wife. We just thought she was loony, and we prayed, and it didn't seem to go anywhere. But I'm going to tell you, these three things, guys, are the triad of brokenness that we deal with on a daily basis. And some of you will say, well, that's not really me. I'm just here for church. You are mistaking yourself. The other morning, I was sitting around a table in discipleship with 12 other men. And I asked the question, I said, out of this room of 12 men, how many of you have been directly impacted in your family or in your children of sexual abuse? And 11 out of 12 guys raised their hands. 11. The question is, and why we're talking about this, is when we pray, God, give us the people that nobody else wants, do we mean it? My heart today is this, is as you search your heart, I know some of you battle with enormous amounts of anxiety. I know some of you deal with enormous scars from abuse. And some of us, and honestly, are we the place, let me ask this dumb, hard question, are we the place where someone who has been a predator at one time in their lives can actually be touched by Jesus and be restored and come back into the glory of God? Yeah, nobody wants to talk about that one. But what would Jesus say about that? Obviously, we protect and we try to do what we can. But what happens, dude? I'm just not even going to go into it. God heals and restores all things. Amen. So here's our boom for today. Is this? There isn't a single addiction, wound from abuse, or broken mind that Jesus cannot restore. You hear me? Yeah, that's great. The question is, I wanted to leave that simple, and I know this, I want to be super delicate, and I know this has already agitated some people talking about this, but does Jesus really heal from the darkest places? Does Jesus really heal families from the most hellacious places on earth? And so for some of you, I want to talk to you today, those of you who have battled any of these things. And for those of you who say, well, this isn't really me, then guess what? Maybe you're one of those ones that God called here to help us set other captives free. And you need to know how to minister and to know what people are going through, because this kind of stuff doesn't work. Hey, just get better. Just get better. What is your problem? Quit being a jerk. Quit worrying about everything. That doesn't help anybody. What helps people is the presence and power of Jesus Christ, changing lives when nobody else can change lives. Amen? Here's our text this morning, Mark chapter 5. Everybody open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. If you don't, and you're just waiting for it to come up on the board, ha-ha, fine. It's already up there. By the way, if you're on your phone, check in. Looks better if we check in, more people check in. So let me read this story to you. And I'm just going to read it and preach on it in chunks and not read the whole overview. So we'll stop at different places. So Mark 5, 1 through 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. So we'll stop there. And so some of you are saying, great, you are likening my addictions and my anxiety to me being a demoniac linked in chains. No, I'm not. I just want to talk about this, and you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. I do believe some of the stuff that we face is demonic. So we're not going to sidestep that. The devil is alive and ready. So either he's directly impacting you, or this, sin. He is the author and the one who brought sin into the world, and he uses these things, and addictions and chains and and all of this stuff, abuse, all of these things, he uses those to reign on earth. Think about how rampant it is. Why in a room of 12 guys have 11 guys been affected by that? Why is this church so riddled with the aftermath of addictions and brokenness? And so it's prevalent, amen? So here's what I want you to see. I want you to look at this man for a minute. And I want you to identify what he is going through and to see if there's any similarities with what some of us are going through. So number one, you can imagine if you look at this guy in his life, he must have loathed himself in his existence. Can you imagine? One day we can imagine that he had a home life, he had family, that he was maybe doing fine, maybe he was going to school, maybe he was doing a family trade, and all of a sudden this thing falls on him and now nobody will come around him. His old friends are gone, his family doesn't see him anymore. He's the freak show, he's the one stuck out in the wilderness by himself. People come by only to chain him. And so think about things like that in the perspective of an addiction. Think about things like that living life in the scars of your abuse. Think about that living with the battle of your mind, your depression, your anxiety. Number two, every day must have been a battle for him. It doesn't say in here at all that this guy was just like, he went through seasons of it. It says day and night he was tormented. Day and night this guy was battling his stuff. He didn't seem to have any reprieve. Day and night, this was his new existence. Out in the middle of nowhere by himself. I'm going to tell you to testify to myself how many times I feel alone in my mind, battling day and night. This week, I was driving around just because I had to get out of the office. My anxiety was so bad that I had to take time and just be with the Lord and say, God, you've got to take this thing. And I was so tired of myself. Another thing is no one had strength to subdue him. Everybody else came to try to help him or subdue him, at least chain him up. And what happened? They couldn't do it. Person after person after person came and they couldn't set him free, nor could they even bind him the right way because he was so out of control. If you're going to tell me that that is in the heart of many of us who battle with these three things, that people will just show up and just try to bind us and try to help and try to bring a good word, or they don't know what they're saying and they say things like, just get over it, stop worrying about stuff, right? That is what, nobody could bind him. Nobody could help him. Nobody on the outside could do what we see only Jesus could do. Is anybody getting this association thing? Alienation and loneliness. What about the amount of exhaustion you can imagine that he had dealing with this junk? What about causing damage to himself and others? Some of you are great self-destructors. Everything seems to be going fine. And I'm like, woo, look, they're really doing good. And all of a sudden you're like, things are good. Ah, and hit the button. Destroy, right? Nobody knows what I'm talking about here. Causing damage to yourself because you don't know how to function. This guy was cutting himself, for those of you who have battled with cutting. This man was self-destructing on himself. And you can imagine the brokenness of his family. We don't get that here. What was the family going through? Surely his mama loved him. Surely his dad. Surely maybe he had brothers and sisters, co-workers, people around him that loved him, that longed to be with him. But because of the junk inside of him, he was now alienated from his entire family. Tell me this story doesn't resonate in the life of people battling mental illness, addictions, and the scars of abuse. I heard a preacher preach this one time on addictions, and it had me on the floor because it nailed me to the wall of what I was going through. So this morning, as you could tell, butterflies and moonbeams is our topic. We will continue to go through this. So here's what happens in verse 6. So we see this man. And then in verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out into the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank and into the sea and drowned in the sea. By the way, Jesus is not a sponsor of PETA. There's a whole lot of bacon going on. Okay, so the 2,000, okay, pigs, you get it. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. Number one, demons have better theology than a lot of people. Demons knew who Jesus was from afar, and they shrieked. And so in James 2:19, it says, you believe that God is one, and you do well. But even the demons believe and shudder. So you want to believe for a minute the authority of Christ. When Jesus walks into the place, the demons know exactly who he is. Call him by name. Address him as the Lord Most High. Know who he is. Are you following me? And I love it because there's nothing on earth and there's nothing in hell that Jesus doesn't have dominion over. I love that. And you must remember that. Even your heaviest, darkest places, there's nothing in down below in hell on earth that Jesus doesn't have complete control and dominion over. So Jesus stares him right in the face and he says, what is your name? And the guy answers, Legion, because there are many of us. And so a legion, this is Roman army talk, so there's 6,000 men in one unit. And so what does that say when the guy says, my name is Legion, for there are many of us? This guy just didn't have one nasty thing going on, right? There was a legion of demons inside of this guy, a legion of them, thousands of demons in this man, and Jesus just looks him straight in the face. And because of God's authority, the demons say, don't cast us out of the country. And what that means, it translates to, don't put us into the abyss. See those pigs over there? They're desperate because of his authority. And they say, see those pigs? Just put us into the pigs. And what does Jesus do? Okay, go. So they go into the pigs, and they run out. And Jesus never flinches once. Years of this man's afflictions are done in one short conversation with Jesus. And so I didn't create this, but you should probably give me credit. This was the actual first recorded case of deviled ham. Yep. Well, maybe. You're welcome. Use that one later. People talk smack on your dumb dad jokes, but then you use them later, so don't act like you're not, okay? So let's continue to read on. Verse 14. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country. And people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. So let's give these guys a little bit of credit. And so hold on. Their whole livelihood is probably in the field of these 2,000 pigs, right? And so in 1 minute, Jesus says, "Fuck!" And they're gone. And so these guys' bread and butter all of a sudden is now in the ocean, right? There's floating bacon everywhere down by the river, right? Down by the ocean. And so they're a little ticked off, quite honestly. And so they run into town and they share with all these people. And all these people come out and they see, listen, they see this restored man who was unclothed, cutting himself, bringing disaster on everything he did. They see him sitting there, clothed and fine. And the tragedy of the story is that their answer to him was fear. So they see this restored man, and they, in fear, tell Jesus to get away. And we see this all the time. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, you know. All these guys, like Peter said, he was afraid to die and in the presence of the Lord. And so these guys, their response is, get away, Jesus, please leave. And I think that is completely, completely, completely tragic. You know, when Jen and I went through the season of our marriage where everything was ending, I thought our marriage was over. I thought ministry was over. And God came in a matter of 3 days, and God completely began to heal our marriage, and we were new, and in a matter of days, okay? And so I walked, praise God. I walked into church a few days later with joy on my face. And then I discovered in the face of church people, they looked at me like I was an idiot, literally. Matter of fact, they told me I was kind of a crackpot and I was going to break at any time and I shouldn't have any joy because things were not okay. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, Jesus healed my family and we're moving. And people just could not get it. And so I will say this, especially for those of us who have come out of addictions, come out of scars of our past and abuse and mental illness, and when Jesus heals, and people don't want to recognize what God has done. Matter of fact, a lot of them are fearful of it. And some of it's usually old homies, right? But sometimes even religious people have an issue with it because it challenges their faith. But you need to remember that Jesus heals, and we don't want to be the guys on the side of the sea saying, get away from me, Jesus. We want to see, Lord, we want more of you of that. Amen? Amen. And so, this guy's completely healed. You hear me? This is a darkest places kind of guy. And by the way, when I talk about this, and some of you, I think this applies to more of us than we even think, because the residuals of this are so bad. I know almost every single one of your families. I know what you've been through. I've cried with many of you over this stuff. I've been there late nights when the repercussions have hit it. Like, this is key. The question is, are we rescuers and overcomers of this, or are we just stunned and defeated Christians because of our deep scars? I'm saying everybody has a chance to heal, but I'm saying deeper, I want you to hear me, the darkest places can heal. The darkest places on earth can be healed. You are not beyond a demoniac who has been cutting himself and living naked and crazy wherever he is, and Jesus can come up in a minute. The presence of Jesus comes into this man and he's completely healed. In the American church, do we believe that the presence of Jesus still comes in and brings healing? Do we? That's good. I hope so. We're at that kind of church. Here's some points before we finish the verse that I want you to grab onto. Number one, there's healing only found in Jesus. Listen to what we talked about before. Nobody could help him day and night. The only thing that saved Rob Danz before Jesus was nobody, was the bottom of a Jack bottle. Stupid relationships, insecurity, diving into my stuff and my mind that controlled my life day and night. Nobody could help me. No counseling helped me on its own. My mom's advice of just stop it didn't heal me on its own. The only thing that gave me a fighting chance was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is why we don't muddle down the gospel. This is why we don't get ashamed to preach Jesus. This is why Jesus is at the center of our life groups, our house churches, our discipleship. Because Jesus literally is the only one that heals the darkest places. Now, I know a lot of people that can do discipline. Oh, man, I know some awesome discipline people. And what they have done is they've got this new God of discipline that they discipline the snot out of everything and act like they're okay, and inside their heart is just demolished. If they had one weekday, man, one weekday, they would just slip on down. And I'm telling you, it's not trying harder, it's dying harder. How many times have we said that? Amen? Listen to these verses. Psalms 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, there is a difference between being saved. And there's also a difference between being saved and free. You hear me? There is a difference of knowing Jesus, believing in him, and then there's another chance, there's another step. It's being free in the power of Jesus from our afflictions. Amen? Now, why don't they go away automatically? So I know people who are like, I just prayed and my mental illness went over. I woke up sane. Or I was an addict for 20 years, and I woke up one day, I prayed to Jesus, and woo! I have never touched that stuff again. Renee kind of brought that up last week, right? That's awesome, and not Renee, of course, but I want to kick people like that sometimes, right? I'm like, well, good for you! Because then I look at it, why does stuff stay on some of us? Why doesn't it just leave? And the answer to that is, biblically, I don't know. I know what Paul said, though, that he pleaded with the Lord to take this thing from him 3 times, and it didn't leave. But Jesus said, whatever she said, hypocrisy and jealousy. Boy, that's tight. Why doesn't it leave? And Paul says, I asked Jesus to take it to the Lord 3 times. He said, no. He said, but my grace is sufficient. And so for some of us, why? And let me say this. I'm not talking about the outward flow of addiction. I'm not saying that it's okay to continue to self-medicate yourself. I'm talking about the inward wound that causes you to medicate yourself. You hear what I'm saying? Is everybody following what I'm taking? So I don't know why it doesn't leave, but I do know this. I know that Jesus can be exalted through it. I know that you can grow through it. I know that His peace that passes understanding can come through it, and then God can turn around and use you. For some of you who have that abuse wound, and by the way, do you guys notice that a lot of these three things are completely connected? Like, right? Like abuse will trigger PTSD and mental illness, and then because of mental illness and because of all these memories, we want to self-medicate, right? And so it's like this huge, stupid ball of brokenness that keeps revolving around itself. And the question is, can Jesus break into that? Yes, but it doesn't mean He's just going to deliver you in 1 second. It does mean He will give you the power to walk through it and then help other people get out. Honestly, my prayer is like, God, I pray You would take every single thing from us right now. But in the end, in 20 years from now, we would be sorry. Some of us would be sorry. Because God wants to do something in your journey that He can't do anywhere else. Bless you. Amen. So here's another one, is you are not alone in this battle. And so let me tell you, I can be in a room of 1,000 people and be battling the anxiety disorder of my mind and feel like I'm the loneliest man on earth. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I feel like I'm stuck in my little office, and I know my wife battling with bipolar and stuff. She feels like she's completely alienated on an island by herself and her craziness and all the stuff in her mind. And I just feel like I'm so alone. And sometimes you are alone in your mind because there's no one else around that knows what you're going through. But you have to know this. You have to know this, is that Jesus is always there. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you've got to open yourself to the presence of God. In the middle of the calamity of my mind that I've just had to get used to over the last 40 years, Jesus is there, and if I'm open, He will still speak and comfort me. Matter of fact, He's the only one I can go and talk to sometime because my mind is such a wreck. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you, but be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Put that in the context of your battle, right? Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired of my mind. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Lord, I can't live another day with the imagery of what that man did to me. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord, I can't do this fighting this addiction thing anymore on my own. Fear not, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Some of us run away from Jesus in the middle of our battles because we think it disqualifies us, and you're absolutely wrong. The place you should be the most in the middle of your funk is at the feet of Christ. All you're doing is running away from the one thing that can help you. Here's another one that goes along with it. If you're tired, He will carry you and lead you. I essentially just talked about this, but Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Think about this, the tiredness level. Jesus doesn't say, hey, I'm going to come and do everything for you, and I'm taking everything. He says, take my yoke. A yoke is positioning yourself to work. A work, if two oxen were put in this yoke, and they would plow the field, but the older oxen would do the work and teach the young one, and he would take most of the journey, most of the weight. And so obviously he's saying, come with me, yoke up with me if you are tired. And how many of you in here today, in your own, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you are tired? Tired of your mind, tired of the fight, tired of the frustration, tired of the guilt, tired of thinking that it was your fault, tired of blah, 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 tired. Who will you run to? Because the only one that can hold that weight with you is Jesus. Only one that can hold that weight is Jesus. Here's another one the power of the Holy Spirit is stronger than the power of mental illness, the scars of your abuse, and the void fueling your addiction. Put this quote up there. I want you to see this. You might be embattled, but you are not exempt or disqualified. Tell me, someone who... Now listen. Let's talk about, like, in my family, these generations of women, some men who have been sexually abused, like, that's heavy, right? Like, you don't just get over that. Tell me one of them that are exempt for living for God's glory. None of them. See, the devil will say, oh, you're a victim. Oh, you're broken. Oh, you got nothing to offer. Oh, you're just an addict. Oh, you're just this and this and this and this and this. So you will stay stuck. And I can't tell you how many people in this church and in this neighborhood, in this city, in this Wichita that are stuck, and they already have freedom, but they're stuck because the devil told them they could just stay where they are because they're worthless. The problem is the Holy Spirit is in us. And so the Holy Spirit helps us with, what college am I going to go to? But the Holy Spirit helps us with, I want to die today, but I want to hold on to Jesus. Like he's there in all of them. Not just superficial conversations about stuff. The Holy Spirit is there when you don't even want to breathe anymore. Everybody following me? Listen to this. 2 Timothy 1:7. God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Does that mean it's not hard? Oh, of course it is. But here's the deal. Like, you don't know this, but here's what I love. Is the people that have been in the darkest places, so much glory to come out of your lives as you come out. And the people that I find the most effective to go back in and reach other people in darkest places are the ones that came out. Like, God has a purpose for your life. Do not believe for one minute that you or your abused kid or blah, 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 all of these things are disqualified now because they have brokenness. It's not a jerky statement to say, get over it. I don't talk that way. Believe me, in my home, we don't talk that way. But it's like this. There is healing in the yes. There's healing in the journey. There's healing when you obey. There's healing when you reach out to other victims and help them walk out. The Holy Spirit is with you. Here's another one. Tangent coming. You are not this battle, but you are who he says you are. Most recovery places will argue with me about this, and I don't care. I think recovery is great. I think everybody should be in it. But I cannot stand when recovery teaches people to tell everybody that, hi, my name is Rob and I'm an alcoholic. Uh-uh. You can find that in the scriptures. No, you can't. The scripture said, I am a redeemed, new priest, loved, no longer an orphan, filled with the Holy Spirit, powerful man of God that is the Father who sits in heaven. That's who I am. I am not a broken family kid. I am not a former addict. I am not just some fat kid that battles with his weight. I am not just a guy that deals with my emotions and my anxiety. I am a son of the living God who battles with those things, and they are temporary. If you continue to live your life under the pretense that you are what you battle with, you will never win. I don't care what any good psychologist or anybody tells you. You are a son and daughter of the living God. Your identity is where your freedom is at. Nowhere else. God, fall on this church and let us know that we are who he says we are, so we can let other people out of their bondage. I'm so tired and heartbroken of spending years trying to get it through people's heads through the Holy Spirit, which I am not, that you're free, you have power, you're okay, you can go. And people just stay stuck. Like, if I'm full of anxiety, do I still have to engage people? Yes! Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Like, he is in you. Is it hard? Yes. But you don't get out of jail free card because you're wounded. Everybody's wounded. But there's glory for God in your recovery. Amen? Man, the devil's a punk, isn't he? Here's the this last one. This is temporary. And I wish I could say, this is going to be over quick. I wish I could say, beautiful sister, those thoughts that you have, remembering how that person broke you, they're all going to disappear tomorrow. Your addiction's the thing that fuels this fire inside of you to medicate yourself. Don't worry, it's going to be gone tomorrow. Which is where I believe the church does damage to people. I had a lot of people tell me for a long time, we had someone recently that said we're not a biblical enough church because we rely on counseling and medication. Did someone say that recently? That because we believe in counseling to help people deal with their baggage and medication. My wife, let me tell you this. My wife and I, we prayed for 10 years for God to relieve my wife of this bipolar stuff, and He didn't, and we thought we were faithless trash. Why don't you guys have enough faith? Why don't you pray stronger? I'm going to tell you what, don't you dare say that stuff around me. Because there are people that are walking faithless and just medicating. So I'm not saying that's not right. I'm not saying that's not true. There are people who need to trust Jesus and walk out of their medication, out of counseling. They're just holding on to stuff for whatever reason it is, self-destruct. But I will tell you this, that doesn't God heal in every way? Isn't He the author of good things? You go talk to my wife who couldn't function without bipolar to the woman of God she is now. With me on things that have to help me, I'm embarrassed by it. But in the end, it helps me function and live for the Lord. It is what it is. And some of you like hide this stuff, trying to be normal. What are you doing? Like, man, if there's something broke, do you not know what the scriptures say? Where everything left in the darkness, God's going to get to it somehow. Amen? The more you hide it, the more you keep it away, the longer you suffer. The longer people around you suffer. You are punishing people because of your pain, and you're punishing yourself. You're punishing yourself. Listen to this. When I think about the day I'm going to see Jesus, what do you think about? And I've said this a million times, and I can't say without just doing a fat man backflip off of here, and then I would be in traction. But I'm going to see Jesus someday. And I'm not just going to see Him, but you know what happens for me? If all of this garbage stays with me every day of my life, every day is a battle in anxiety. If every day is a battle of scars and memories that I have, but I try to honor Jesus, I walk with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter if they stay with me forever, because one day I'm going to be in the presence of the King and I'm going to be free. You are going to lose all of the weight of that broken heaviness on you when you see Jesus. Do you get that? When you're in His presence, the thoughts of the past are gone. When you're in His presence, your shame is gone. The thinking it was your fault is gone. Your need to self-medicate is gone. It's all gone. That's why we call upon the name of the Lord. Don't you think He's not good because you don't have total freedom yet? It's coming. He promised it. One day I'm going to be free of every single piece of this garbage that taints me. And you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to be like Paul. Devil, you want to send this stuff thoughts? Guess what? I'm going to make every one of them count for God's kingdom. Make me feel selfless, like I have no worth today. I'm going to praise the living God and remember that I am a son of the living God. Want to make me feel like my family's trash today? I'm going to go home and love them like my dad wouldn't. Everything He throws at us, because we are eternally bound, we could turn around on Him. This is not forever. This is temporary. The end of the verse, our verse this week says this. As He was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged Him that He might be with him. And He did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. You know what's cool about this? Is where he didn't go is back to his shackles. Come on, that'll preach on its own. How many of us have been set free, and then because it's comfortable, instead of going, we'll go be like, oh, I'm just going to, it's comfy over here. I got my bed set up, and my gnashing of teeth stuff over here, my fixident, whatever it is. Like, I'm not going to stay in the chains, but I'm just going to stay over here in the stench. This guy doesn't do that. He's accompanied by the Lord. And I can't tell you how many times myself and how many times a lot of you and how many times the blessed of us in here, we're free, but we have no idea what to do with ourselves. We have no idea where to go. We've been in this place for 20 years. It's all we know. It's comfortable to us. I'm telling you, the only place to go is where this guy did, and that's chasing after Jesus. Chase, and listen, Jesus answers the request of the demons. He gives them what they want. He answers the request of these faithless city people who tell them to leave. He does not answer the request of the one he just saved. Isn't that kind of funky? Demons say, hey, cast us into those pigs. Jesus said, go. They say, Jesus, get out of here. We can't handle this. He's leaving, and he doesn't answer this guy. Why? Well, because he needs to go proclaim the goodness of God. It is your purpose. Let me tell you this. God sets you free to set other people free. And the Decapolis is this area of like 10 cities, okay? And later on in the scriptures, we find through Acts and different places that there are already churches there. And Paul has never gone there. Guess what? We could just assume maybe for a minute that this busted demoniac guy who got touched by Jesus and went and shared and people were amazed, he was the forerunner of an explosion of believers and the church in his hometown. Like he got changed and he went and told his mama, he went and told his daddy. Can you imagine his mama sitting at the driveway watching her son roll up, running with God's glory to him? Some of you have some appointments in the driveway with people that have been waiting on you for a long time. Amen? So Jesus used this guy. This is the deal. You hear me? He wasn't disqualified. Goes back to my question. Are we the people? Are we the church that come from the darkest places that allow Jesus to heal us, and then we run after other people who are in these, because there are people right now cutting themselves. There are people right now living in the shame of their abuse. There are people right now living the affliction of their mental illness, and there's nobody there. You know who should be there? The church. We should be. How dare we sit around and play entertainment as the American church when people walk in here and they walk out in death? The church is supposed to rise to the darkest places. You don't all have to be addicts and deal with abuse in this room, but you know what? God created you to be a champion for them. The poor and the afflicted and the broken. We do this together. That is our purpose and mission. I don't see a lot of churches out there saying, God, give us all the addicts and the sexual abuse victims and the mentally ill. We must be stupid. Or God is true and he sets demoniacs free. So what if we're never 10,000 people? If we got 1,000 of us doing house churches that are being set free from the darkest places, then there are going to be another 1,000 people that are going to be set free from the darkest places. Stop listening to the lies of the enemy of what he says about you. Is there freedom in Christ or not? I found this quote. I plagiarized it, and I don't know who the dude is, so I'll just tell you that. This last quote. We change when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing. I have personally sat with many of you through this stuff. Many of you have sat with us through this stuff. And Jesus is, I can't heal you. Church service can't heal you. The church can be involved in Jesus healing you. But the question is as I battle my brain every day in my anxiety, I live with the scars of a wife who is forever changed because of her abuse, that deals with bipolar, the addictions that were passed down to me from my family. I live with those every single day of my life. The bigger question is, and I'm sorry they're not going away, but the bigger question is for me is, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit here completely listening to the lies of the enemy and be broken, or am I going to surrender to the living God and say, Jesus? And you can have a frank conversation with Jesus, right? Lord, I'm mad! I don't know why this happened. I hate dealing with this every day. God, set me free. And do you not think that the God of heaven would answer his people. Here's our boom one more time. There isn't a single addiction, wound from abuse, or broken mind that Jesus cannot restore. Church, I love you more than you know. And it breaks my heart what has happened to you. It breaks my heart the battles you have. It breaks the heart to see my family battle. It breaks my heart to get up every morning and look in the mirror and just hate myself. Not even being able to think clearly. I hate it. But I'm a believer for a reason. Because I know that Jesus saves, and I have to keep coming back to Him and saying, take it, take it, take it, take it. Some of you in this room are hiding stuff. Some of you have never told people stuff that you've done. Some of you have never told people stuff that has happened to you. I sat in a room one night of five guys back at the old building, and we were having a Bible study, and we were talking about abuse. And these five guys, they were all over 30, and three of these five guys confessed that they were abused when they were little, and they never told anybody else. That was the first time that they ever told anybody. They wept. They were on the floor hugging each other and praying, but it was out. They were no longer there to carry it by themselves. It was no longer eating away. They got to confess bitterness and see people touch and love their lives. And they at least had the doorway open to healing. What scares me is in this room, what is still in there? What's in here? Stuff that's happening with you or kids or your family, your husband, your spouse. Some of you are battling mental things and you won't get help because you're prideful. You're afraid if people really knew how you acted at home, that you would never be allowed anywhere, but you're going to keep going that way and cause destruction that will finally catch up to you. The point is we bring everything to the light for Jesus to heal. You are not a freak of nature. You're a human and a sinner. You've been affected by humans and sinners. Some of them horrible things, but Jesus heals everything that's brought. I promise next week unicorns and moonbeams. But I'm going to tell you, I prayed this week to avoid this conversation. I'm not stupid. I know people in this room and how this affects people's hearts. And I am telling you that the Lord carried me here because He wants you to be free. Because He's longing for you. He's longing for your confession. He's longing for you to finally let out that demonic, stupid, dark place inside of you that hurts you so bad. He's longing for you to cry out to Him and His church about your addictions. Man, we're never going to be the church that God has called us to be until we call to be the freedom people that He has called us to be. And I know many of you have come a very long way, and I praise the Lord, but we are not done yet. So as we go into a time of worship, I challenge you and myself to get real with yourself, to get real with the Holy Spirit. Confess about your self-medicating. Some of you need to confess the deepest, darkest stuff that you've done and the things you've battled with, because on your own, you will not survive. If you have deep hurts that are just ruining your everyday life, you can't even function, you've got to come. If you come to Him angry, you come to Him angry, but you've got to come. And so we're going to have worship. Communion is open on both sides of the room, but I am praying for the Holy Spirit of God to fall on this place. If you have memories that you cannot shake, come and let somebody else carry them with you. If you're in a battle for your sobriety and you can't do it on your own, come and let somebody do it with you. If you're so tired of the mental illness and the anxiety that plagues you day and night, or bipolar or PTSD, whatever it is, that the devil is trying to keep you there, you have to come and let other people carry it with you. And let's make sure we're a church that says we believe that Jesus can and will heal all things. Lord, I pray for these brothers and sisters. Lord, first of all, I pray over the men and women here that are going, well, this isn't really me, Pastor. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to them that it is them. Because God, you have called your church to rise and to touch the broken and the poor and the afflicted and not just give them food, but to actually be a part of them being restored and set free and used. Lord, I pray for the people that are battling addictions this morning. May they have their true identity as sons and daughters and not just addicts. That they would be free of that mindset. That they would know who they are, and when they know who they are, they can be set free. And Lord, I pray that they would allow people to come around them. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be messy, but Lord, we would surround them and help them be set free. Lord, I pray for us tenderly in this room who are battling with the effects of scars of abuse. Lord, I have never seen deeper scars in my entire existence, but I know that you can heal. I know that it is your heart to heal, and I know that it is your heart to set them free. God, I pray that any imagery that still remains, Jesus, God, that you would flood their mind with goodness and glory, pieces of heaven and pictures of a restored life, Lord. Every lie that has come into them, why couldn't I stop it? Why didn't I do this? Jesus, speak the truth to them. Bring healing on them, God. And I pray that all of your sons and daughters would walk into your lap and you would bring healing on them. And Lord, I pray for those who battle with our minds. God, we're so tired. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would remind us that this is temporary and that, Lord, you can use us still. You can bring clarity in the middle of calamity. You can bring joy in the middle of depression. You can bring life in the middle of lifelessness, God, that you are the author of our brains and you could speak into our wiring and bring new life. Jesus, bring healing today. Holy Spirit, fall now. Come and start to heal hearts, reveal hearts, Lord Jesus. Take the confessions of men and women who have horrible things that they have been keeping to themselves. God, may they confess it so they won't end up as monsters, but free men and women. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.